more and more, incapable, inexperienced, irresponsible, reckless, and wanton elements, which are out for their own profit, will, unfortunately, seize power in the firms, corporations, and governments, and these elements will be too young, too naive, and absolutely unfit to be able to fill in their positions responsibly. 210. More and more, too young and simple-minded people will be launched into high and responsible positions, to which they cannot do justice, however. 211. Thus, positions of power will be occupied by those who do not know how to handle them responsibly, and they will abuse these positions just for their own advantage and according to their confused thoughts and ideas, namely up to treason, and they will drive everything into ruin through this. 212. And this will be valid for the governments, as well as for the firms of the economy and for the small and large corporations. 213. In addition, this will likewise be valid for the healthcare system, particularly for the hospitals and their doctors, as well as for the free doctors of a medical and dental form, who, more and more, will conduct themselves entirely for profit and will pursue mismanagement, by what means premiums for health insurance will necessarily increase to a great extent. Billy, so you also know a lot about our health insurance system. Quetzal, 214. Of course, that is correct, for we deal with all aspects of Earth humanity. Billy, of course, because you must be oriented over everything. But now, I have a question regarding the entity, or the giant star, as one always wants to say, which is called Betelgeuse. If I remember correctly, Tua told me, when he showed me the entity on my great journey in 1975. That this is about 620 times the diameter of our sun. In addition, Alnitak, also such an entity or star, should have a luminosity that is 19,000 times that of our sun. Is this right? For I explained this to someone who asked me about it. If my information that I provided is wrong, then I would have to apologize to the man for it and rectify it. Quetzal, 215. You can rest assured because your remarks were correct in the form mentioned by you. Billy, then a question about the coming world events. Is there something special to say there? Quetzal, 216. Old and new rulers, as well as dangerous terrorists and entire countries, will shape the future in such a way that it will, unfortunately, be very negative and be marked by suffering, pain, death, and destruction. 217. Many deadly elements, such as crazy rulers and terrorists, will be able to live freely in their madness and insanity and be able to cause tremendous harm throughout the whole world. 218. Among these, there will be many, whose names will enter into the history of mankind, such as the coming President Bushes in America, Milosevic in Yugoslavia, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Tsku, Osama bin Laden, Karadzic, and many others who will criminally appear in the next 15 years, but soon others will follow, who will in no way be better. 219. Thus, many malicious, degenerated people will become a talking point worldwide and will bring untold suffering throughout the world, even under the guise of peace, freedom, and the fight against terrorism and against evil in general, as this will especially be the case with the American President Bushes, when father and son seize power at different times. 220. All of these rulers, dictators, and terrorists won't be normal, reasonable, and responsible thinking, feeling, and acting as truly powerful people, rather, they will be caught in their hatred as well as in their vindictiveness and lust for power. Consequently, they will only indulge in evil, destruction, and annihilation and, thus, in terror and murder to a great extent. 221. In their thoughts and in their feelings, they will be cold and merciless, in their lust for power, they will commit crazy and inhumane and, thus, degrading acts and will evoke power-hungry and retaliatory wars, and unfortunately, they will still be praised for this by their idiotic followers, who will be found in many governments of many countries as well as in whole populations. Consequently, they will be able to carry on their inhumane and outrageous activities against humans under their protection and applause. 222. Especially through U.S. foreign policy, terror and war will increasingly occur to such an extent that in unreasonableness and in pathological craving for power and world domination, an American-styled, dangerous, and deadly game with fire will be operated worldwide, by what means, especially in the Islamic countries and elsewhere around the world, an enormous hatred against America will flare up more and more, which will be unspeakably rife with much suffering, pain, death, and destruction. 223. Through the guilt and actions of the Americans, not only will entire countries be destroyed, in terms of their facilities and buildings, but also their economies, wholly apart from the countless dead ones, who will call for the U.S. military machinations and terror machinations. 224. And just the destruction caused by explosions, bombs, and missiles, etc. will be such that countless billions of sums of money will be required and necessary for the reconstruction, in order to repair what was destroyed or to rebuild it. 225. An unparalleled insanity, when one considers that billions of sums will be spent to destroy and annihilate everything, in order to rebuild everything destroyed and annihilated by additional countless billions of sums. 226. In fact, this corresponds to a crazy way of thinking, which only those who are crazy are capable of. 227. Like already for a long time, and also in the future, the Americans constantly make wrong connections with powerful figures, terrorists, countries, and organizations, in order to train these as war specialists and terror specialists, and also as Secret Service agents and spies, etc., without noticing in their megalomania that all these forces, again and again, place themselves against freedom and humanity and, in the end, also against their trainers and against the Americans as a whole. 228. In its self-glory, the USA isn't capable of grasping the damage it inflicts as a whole, not in the least to itself, and that it acts completely illogically and immoderately. 229. Their megalomania and their selfishness, as well as their self-glory, will be more and more a farce in the coming time, namely for the whole world, which will prove itself in the coming time all over the world. 230. What is explained, however, only represents a few facts that will influence and shape the future. 231. And also in the new millennium, the USA won't act differently than before and, thus, will cause much disaster around the world, by what means thousands of people will die, and tremendous destruction, much suffering and pain, and great distress will come upon the world. 232. Yet even in America itself, a tremendous amount of suffering and hardship will likewise appear, whereby also very many people will die as a result of the wrong American foreign policy. 233. But the American domestic policy will also cause much harm, distress, and suffering, to which the criminal and inhumane death penalty will also contribute. Billy, then there aren't exactly nice prospects to be expected for the future. Quetzal, 234. Unfortunately, number 235. But now, that should be enough questions for today. 236. Farewell and until we meet again. Billy, bye, my friend. Bye. 215th contact, Saturday, February 28, 1987, 2:09 a.m. Billy, my first question today refers to the massacre of the Palestinian refugees in Sabra and Shatila in the year 1982. We already talked about this once, but on the one hand, nothing was held in writing in relation to this, and on the other hand, your answer wasn't sufficient enough. The events were horrifying, with which more than 3,000 people were brutally and bestially murdered on the 15th or 16th of September, 1982. In addition, it was never determined as to who the real ringleaders, that is main perpetrators, actually were, who gave the order for this massacre. Can you now say this clearly and plainly? I mean, who the main responsible person was or who the main responsible persons were? Quetzal, 1. There were 3,468 people who lost their lives in the massacres. 2. There were two real culprits, namely the Israeli Prime Minister at that time, Menachem Begin, and the Defense Minister, Ariel Sharon. 3. Together, these two secretly decided upon the massacre, which Ariel Sharon then arranged with the Christian militias, that is the responsible persons of Gemayel's phalangists, with the promise that the Israeli occupation troops wouldn't intervene, following which the murderous militias could then freely enter the refugee camps and carry out their atrocities. 4. Also with them were members of Hadad's army, who could likewise pass through the Israeli controls without difficulty and invade the camps of Sabra and Shatla and carry out their murderous work. 5. Begin's and Sharon's secret agreement with the leaders of the Christian killer brigades never became known because all those who were responsible have remained silent to this day, and of course, they will continue to do so. 6. But with what happened in the year 1982, it won't be enough, because Ariel Sharon, who thinks the Palestinians look better dead than alive, won't halt his murderous deeds. 7. This will especially be so when he arrives at the highest power in Israel, by being proclaimed the head of state in the year 2001. 8. As I've already explained to you, he is an unusually aggressive man and a Palestinian hater, as well as a murderous element that doesn't shy away from any atrocities, as this is also true of Begin. 9. When Sharon arrives at great power, very much distress will come over Israel and its inhabitants, as well as over the Palestinians, because through his direct command, many open and secret service murders will happen. 10. Through him, Israel will ignore and stomp on all liberties and human rights of the Palestinians more and more, as well as overthrow all political and human rights and rules and spread and arrange murderous terror with enormous destructions. 11. Through Ariel Sharon, very much disaster, evil and pain, suffering and death will be spread in the new millennium because he will be able to indulge uninhibitedly in his murderous and inhumane ambitions, in utter irresponsibility and in uncontrollable hatred against the Palestinians in particular and also against the Arabs, without any great and serious objection being raised against it by the Israelis or by the world. 12. Nevertheless, if such occurs, then it will only be lax and dishonest. 13. Ariel Sharon's actions will occur to the same extent as those of the Americans who, under the guise of the fight against terrorism and the preservation of peace, will run on the same tracks with their global military interventions in the affairs of foreign countries. 14. However, both actions will be the same, so both Israel's and America's, namely of a terrorist, that is counter-terrorist nature, as this will also be the case with the Palestinians and with Iraq, as well as other countries, so also with a variety of distinct terrorist organizations, including those that are secretly driven by the state and those of the secret services of the state. Billy, there, the world can look forward to and prepare for a lot of misery, murder and mayhem, suffering, destruction, hatred and vindictiveness, as well as many other evils. Quetzal, 15. That is correct, for that will actually be the case. Billy, then to something else. For now, I have, once again, heard of enough evil that the future will bring. How does it stand, then, with the progress relating to genetic engineering? You've already told me a few things, but now, in relation to this, the question arose in our group during a discussion. When will it have come so far that genetic science will merge plant and animal genes together, in order to cultivate plant animals, that is animal plants? Do you have any knowledge about this and does such an action represent the natural scientific evolution of man? Quetzal, 16. The science of genetic engineering is established in the laws of overall evolution, therefore, it also cannot be prevented, even though in the future, irrational ones, who will unite together in whole organizations, will want to destroy such progress by all unfair means, Even with lies and with false test reports and impact reports on genetically altered plants, animals, and humans. 17. However, genetic progress can't be stopped, in spite of all these irrational machinations of the genetic engineering enemies, because the laws of evolution will allow it that even this branch of progress will find its fulfillment through human genius. 18. Of course, genetic engineering will need its time before it can function flawlessly because every beginning requires efforts, researches, and mistakes that must be made, for only through these can qualified and real successes be obtained and can progress be created. 19. But exactly this means that all negating things that will be undertaken in the future by those who are irrational and fearful, in reference to genetic engineering and, thus, to genetic manipulations in plants, animals, and humans, will be wrong and impeding to progress, as well as absurd, unrealistic, stupid, and irresponsible, for such actions will inhibit the progress and the better well-being of the Earth person and, thus, will slow down many vitally necessary solutions for humans, animals, and plants and even make such solutions impossible. 20. Due to the irrationality and irresponsibility of the genetic opponents, it will be that a lot of genetic progress for all humans, animals, and plants, as well as waters and air, and even for all of nature, will be prevented for many years, even though life could be prolonged by centuries through genetic engineering and just through the genetic manipulation of the person, by what means his health could be so stabilized, namely in a few decades, that he would almost never get sick. 21. Also plants, fruits, and vegetables, as well as other food products, could already be so genetically altered in a short time for the welfare of humans that ample benefits would arise from it. But the irresponsible, irrational and, thus, the gene-negating ones will work against this with lies, deceit, and fear. By what means the actual successes of genetic engineering will also have to wait a long time for themselves, for when the first actual successes are achieved, from which the people will benefit, often not even knowing that their food or medicines are genetically engineered and are only actually useful and healthy because of this. 22. But concerning your other question, 23. It will be the year 2002 before a genetic attempt will officially become known, with which plant and animal genes will be brought together. 24. About this, we have acquired probability calculations, which show that the whole thing will report itself in Japan, in the sense that the genes of spinach plants will be transferred into pigs. 25. Nevertheless, this won't be the first case, for the same and similar things will already happen prior to this in different countries of the Earth from their scientists. As a result of their research, it's just that the world public will learn almost nothing about this, like also not about the cloning attempts regarding humans and animals. 26. Even in the current time, many series of experiments like these are already running in scientific laboratories around the world. It's just that these are concealed, and to be sure, with the full authorization of the irrational and irresponsible genetic opponents, therefore, ways of inhibiting progress are thought of by those who, out of complete ignorance and often influenced by sectarianism, try to restrain the development themselves, and to them, all unfair means are right, and this will also remain so in the new millennium, at least in the first two decades. Billy, idiotic, especially when one considers that the progress cannot be stopped, not even when lunatics rant against it. But so it has always been on the earth. For there have always been pathological idiots, who didn't want to allow the progress, who braced themselves against it, and with this, often caused much disaster, by what means often many people lost their lives, who may have been saved if the progressive had been allowed, especially with regard to medicine and food preparation, etc. Quetzal, 27. That is correct. 28. But consider that. Billy, dot. Foolishness always first precedes reason. Quetzal, 29. I wanted to say that, yes. 30. But how do you know this aphorism? 31. It is well known to us from traditions. Billy, dot. From Enoch. I know. Quetzal, 32. Then did either Samjasor to a report this to you, or perhaps for Thor ask it? Billy, neither. Quetzal, 33. That, I don't understand. Billy, it isn't important now. One day, though, you'll understand it. Let's talk about something else. Guido and I were talking about the prehistoric people, that is the Stone Age people, and there, the question arose as to when these had actually come so far that they banded together in larger groups and when these or their descendants built the first smaller and larger settlements, smaller or larger kraals or small villages, etc. In addition, we also came to speak of the first real, original prehistoric men, if one can actually designate the most distant, original forefathers of the Earth people as such. Here, the question, then, is how large they actually were and whether they were already walking upright. Also, we came to the first, respectively the leftover and subsequent animals, specifically speaking of the mammals that occupied the Earth after the extinction of the dinosaurs. The real interest was with the predators and the horses and even the large mammals and so on. What is also of interest to us is when the Earth's climate basically began to stabilize itself. Since these things also belong to one of your specialties, I guess that you can certainly tell us something about it. Quetzal, 34. The Earth's climate began to stabilize itself around 35 million years ago. 35. And if I should provide some information about mammals and also predators, which appeared about 65 million years ago after the Great Catastrophe, then I must speak of the times of the Eocene and Oligocene. 36. As you know, the impact of a space projectile took place on the Earth about 65 million years ago, by what means all major life forms were killed and destroyed? 37. Only small creatures were able to survive, which only weighed up to 10 or 12 kilograms at most. 38. The first human forms, which can already be very well designated in their origin as human beings, emerged around 49 million years ago. 39. Nevertheless, their appearance wasn't human but rather in the form that the Earth person knows of the early hominid, due to his conceptions, because the first human forms still had nothing comparable with these. 40. In fact, these beings were only about 80 centimeters large, and they partially moved half upright on their legs, and their excessively long arms partially clambered around in the trees. 41. The development of these beings lasted for a very long time, with the most diverse species following from it, which developed into actually recognizable humans in their first species, even the early hominids, as the Earth person imagines them in their early stages, around 8.5 million years ago, while other species of the same genus appeared 4.5 and 6.5 million years ago. 42. There were precursors to these species, but already 12.6 and 16.7 million years ago. 43. From the more distant descendants of all these human forms, who appeared in various places on the Earth, such as in Africa, Australia, Japan, China, America, South America and in Europe, etc., as you now call these areas, there were already early accumulations of dwellings, settlements, as you say, in which whole kinships gathered together. 44. Such sites are known to us on Earth, and they exhibit an age of 736,000 and of 811,000, 970,000 and 1,200,000 years. 45. Even after the dinosaurs, there were naturally predators that could have competed with the Tyrannosaurus rex, for example. 46. There was, for example, the family of hyaenodonts, but these aren't the ancestors of today's hyenas, yet they were aggressive, powerful predators, whose most distant, evolutionary altered descendants are the moles. 47. A hyaenodont reached a size of 170 to 180 centimeters, had a set of razor-sharp teeth, and especially the molars were razor-sharp grinding tools, with which even the thickest bones of victims could be easily crushed for digestion. 48. The primitive genetic blueprint of these great predators has been preserved to this day in the mole, whose incisors come from the same evolutionary line as those of the hyenodonts. 49. So today's mole is really nothing other than a predator, albeit a small predator that only eats worms, beetles, larvae, and so on. 50. Hyenodonts, like the mole also is, were rogues. 51. Hyenodonts were ruthless predators, but there were others that even surpassed these, namely the entelodonts, to which the endless savannas and hardwood forests offered abundant hunting grounds. 52. These were actually the most powerful predators that lived at the same time with the hyenodonts, which disappeared even before the entelodonts. The entelodonts reached more than 2 meters in size and weighed more than 1,000 kilograms. 53. These animals were extremely aggressive and exhibited an actual pre-kinship to today's wild boars living on the earth. 54. They were omnivores and had no enemies, except their own kind. 55. Rogues, like the hyenodonts, met one another as a result of their distinct sense of smell, like also the hyenodonts, when other animals were seized or when cadavers showed them the way. 56. This led to serious fights with their equals, which were frequently associated with severe and bone-shattering injuries and which also often ended with subsequent death. 57. It goes without saying that these powerful, great predators had no other natural enemies and, thus, were the actual rulers over all life forms at that time. 58. Their only enemies were their own members of the same species. 59. If they encountered each other, then they mutually attacked and maltreated themselves with their up to 1 meter long jaws, which were fitted with razor-sharp teeth. 60. But at another time, there was also the Endrosuchus, also an extremely aggressive predator that weighed well over a ton and that was the earliest ancestor of today's sheep and also probably the largest predator that lived on the earth after the time of the dinosaurs. 61. Nevertheless, this wasn't the largest animal, for that was the Indricotherium, which exhibited a size of over 7 meters and a weight of up to 17 tons. 62. This animal at that time was the real, first prototype, from which developed the rhinoceros that is well known to you. 63. The most powerful and most unusual mammal appeared on the earth a little more than 2 million years ago, the Megatherium. 64. This was a giant sloth that walked upright on its hind legs and ate leaves. 65. Unlike today's sloths that live in trees and that are very slow and ponderous, the Megatherium was too immense and too heavy to be able to climb trees, like also the giant rodent that was the size of a modern cow, which lived 6 to 10 million years ago. Megatherium was as large as a medium-sized elephant, weighing over 4,000 kilograms and measuring 6 meters. 66. Only a few thousand years ago, this giant sloth lived in North and South America, but it was hunted by humans for its great tasting meat until it was wiped out, as this also happened with the mammoth, which was also largely eliminated by the humans at that time, while the remaining animals found their end through climatic upheavals and natural disasters. 67. And since I speak now of the mammoth, you will surely ask about the elephants, or more precisely for their actual original forefathers. 68. This was the Neotherium, which also lived millions of years ago and which developed, over a very long evolutionary process, into what you now know as the elephant. Billy, you forgot the horse. And how large, then, was the Hyenodont? Quetzal, 69. I have, in fact, forgotten this. 70. But first, the Hyenodont. 71. This was about as large as a current rhinoceros. 72. The original forefathers of horses were very small and only had a size of just less than 30 centimeters. 73. Then, from these, the Chalicotherium developed at a later time, which was more than 3 meters in size and which had a short snout like an anteater, as well as a long neck. Therefore, with a little imagination, it could be compared to a giraffe. Billy, thank you for your remarks. Then now a question about the so-called Roswell case. Did a UFO actually crash